And joining me in the KRVS studios this afternoon are Gerd Vistemann, Executive Director of the Acadiana Center for the Arts, and Mike Myers, who started the Cane Fire film series, which now has its home at the ACA. Lots going on at the ACA. I shouldn't even say this weekend. It's like almost every other day, Gerd, there are things happening at the ACA. Lots of different series that you all have started, and it's hard to keep up with it. So people can go to your website, of course, to always be kept informed, and sign up for your Facebook page, and they'll know what's happening at the ACA.
Yeah, you know, it is hard to keep track of us. We do a lot of things in our little theater throughout our visual arts galleries and with everything else we do in education and community development in this region. Of course, that's exactly why we exist. And so I'm very proud of my staff, and they do extraordinary things on a weekly basis. We do, you know, on average have about 4 events every week throughout the season, which is a little crazy, but I guess we like it that way.
Well, you've given home to quite a number of artists, including Mike. I think of you as kind of an impresario of films. You've given Cane Fire a home. Also, Wanderlust Theater Company will be performing this weekend at the ACA. Mm. So you're giving a home to theater companies as well, and doing residencies for so many artists that might not otherwise have a place to perform.
Right. You know, this is our third season, really, at ACA since we finished the building. And little by little, strategically, we stepped up in different areas. We wanted to focus on jazz presenting our season one. We stepped into dance in season two. And then we embraced theater and film more in this third season. Of course, we have a resident company acting up who does great work in terms of education, etc., and also presents great work on their own. But we wanted to open up and give some of our great regional companies here occasionally the access to the theater to present in a really pretty cool venue. And Wanderlust has approached us with an interesting project we really found fascinating. And so that play opens tonight, actually at 7:30, runs through Saturday with a Saturday matinee and evening performance doing Art Walk. It's a great piece, Eurydice by Sarah Ruhl, sort of a modern spin on Greek tragedy, an interesting, fascinating piece, really, and we're very, very excited about having them.
Well, I think Wanderlust has established itself as a theater company that does very unusual things, whether with object theater or plays that are on the edge and retelling stories. They're always fascinating performances by Wanderlust.
Absolutely. You know, the set, I had a chance to look at some of the rehearsals the last couple of nights, and the set looks really fascinating. There will be some real surprises. We've reconfigured our theater. There's a sort of a runway in the middle of the theater as well, so you're going to be very much drawn into the performance. And, you know, we try to approach companies, or as we start engaging in conversation with them, to see what might be a good fit for ACA, because, as you know, there's a lot of community theater in this region, actually. I think we counted at some point there are 32 or so community theater organizations in all of Acadiana, and we work with many of them. But it's important for us, I think, to identify the projects that need a bigger stage on occasion, because, I mean, places like A10 and Cité des Arts do such wonderful job with community theater already, and we feel that we have a great synergy between those places, and then we can occasionally sort of allow a company to step up a bit, give them a bit more space, a bit more props, a bit more tech systems to work with, and this is one of those occasions.
Well, it's nice that we have so many different configurations for theater, because not every performance needs the same space and the same resources. So Wanderlust Theatre Company will be performing Eurydice this weekend at Cité des Arts. It opens actually this evening and will continue through the weekend. So if you're headed down for Art Walk on Saturday, you may want to consider getting a ticket, but it will open this evening. So just for this weekend, Gerd, it's a one-weekend run.
It's a one-shot deal. We have 4 performances scheduled, and I think that gives a lot of people a chance to see the play. I think it's a wonderful opportunity.
All right. And I know that Wanderlust has a Facebook presence. If you're interested in finding out more about their performance, you can go to their Facebook page.
Go to their Facebook page, check out ours, or sign up for one of our emails and e-blasts so you can always be informed about ACA.
All right. So what else is happening for Art Walk? What exhibits do you have up this weekend?
We have, still in the main gallery, Luis Cruz Acetera, a wonderful exhibit, Cuban-born, nationally highly recognized artist who found a home in New Orleans for the past 20 years. His work deals with a lot of social issues in a sort of surrealist context. So you find things about school shootings or bombings. There's some pieces that still we deal with the refuse washed up during Katrina. The pieces are very large scale, very colorful, incredible work. If you haven't seen it yet, you really need to come down to see the play, the exhibit. In the side gallery, we have a show by a Croatian-born artist who lived down here for many years, now lives in the Northeast, who has an interesting large-scale installation involving oyster shells and coastal erosion problems in river flood zones, both here, of course, in the Mississippi Delta, as well as in his birthplace, Croatia, which is the Danube Delta into the Red Sea, which has actually very similar both social and ecological struggles and tribulations as we experienced here. And so it's an interesting piece that gives commentary to that. We have upstairs a wonderful show in our galleria by seniors, juniors and seniors, and a couple of recent graduates from the UL Fine Arts program. We like to present them on occasion. It's a very strong, very important relationship for us. The show is called Fresh Pickens, aptly named, and the pieces are absolutely astounding. I think it once again goes to show how powerful visual arts are in this region. We're known for our culinary arts and for our music, but visual arts here play just as significant a role, and I think this is really further proof of that.
Well, in the supportive role that you all play in helping young artists and giving a space for artists to exhibit, perform, a really great incubator at the ACA, plus also having exhibits for very established international artists. So you embrace it all.
That's exactly what we try to do. We try to enlighten about what else is happening in the world while we foster and nurture our own local artists here at the same time. And there will be much more to come with some new programs we're starting in conjunction with LIDA and LPTFA in the future. So more on that. Hopefully we do more in career development to all of our artists here.
Well, definitely a good reason to keep up with what's going on at the ACA through Facebook, their website. Just have that calendar ready so you can find out what's going on. I know that you also give a home to the chamber series for the Acadiana Symphony Orchestra, and they have a great concert coming up next Friday for Valentine's Day that we'll be talking more about. So the ACA is really simmering these days. The film series that you all have given a home to is Cane Fire Film Series. Can you tell us why you embrace Cane Fire Film Series? What was it about what Mike was doing? Because certainly there are other series, but what did you like about what Mike was doing?
Well, you know, it was actually interesting because at some point we found ourselves in conversation, and I know that I've attended some of the films that Mike has presented, and I thought the quality was always top-notch. I used to be a frequenter to Bayou Bijou when it was still in existence, and I knew with Bayou Bijou's demise, or at least temporary...
They're redoing the union.
They're redoing the union, etc. I felt that there was a real need in the community for an ongoing series that has a strong presence and presents, ideally, first-run art film, things that we don't get to see here normally because we don't have repertoire houses in Lafayette. And lo and behold, you know, Mike and I found ourselves in conversation at some point. And I think actually he came to my office and we were initially just talking about maybe doing a couple of things. And I said, you know, why not start this, give this series a permanent home here? I think it would help us build an audience. And we don't have the capacity, nor do we have the knowledge to do this. And here's somebody in the community who has really been in the scene forever and knows the ins and outs of Hollywood and everything to do with art film. And, I mean, we basically just turned it over to Mike, and the rest is history. And it's been an extraordinary thing.
Well, I know, Mike, you have definitely made an impression in the community with your consistently not only great films, but films that are sometimes just coming out. You have a wonderful way of knowing what's happening in the world of film, particularly documentary film, and you really make these wonderful arrangements with companies to get these films down here.
Well, that's one of the parameters of the series, is it has to be a new film. It has to be something that has a distributor and has played in New York, Los Angeles, or any major market. And we might not get the films the day they come out, but we usually get them within the month. So it's something you really can't see on Netflix yet or DVD or anything like that. So that's kind of one of the main reasons one of the parameters of actually getting into the series is, you know, it has to be a good film. It has to have a some notoriety across the country about different things.
And so often in the past, these are films that we would read about, you know, in some journal talking about what films were coming up. And we would just sort of longingly think about them and not know when we would get the opportunity to see them. But you're really ferreting out those films. And oftentimes when you've given me a flyer for one of these films, I've just read about it somewhere. And it's been highly praised. And so you're really writing that wonderful.
Yeah, I do my research. I make sure the films are well reviewed and, you know, are getting some play elsewhere and getting good critic stuff. And, you know, the films used to come here. I mean, we used to have enough screens in Lafayette where one or two screens here would show these sort of films, maybe not for a long time, but maybe for a week. And that kind of dried up back in 2006, 2007, somewhere around there. And they just don't come here anymore. So those are the films I want to see anyway. So I just thought there's a need for it here. You know, maybe not every day, but at least once a month. And that's how we're working it now.
So it's a monthly film series. It's the second
Monday of the month.
All right.
And occasionally we'll do a special screening, but the main screening is always the second Monday of the month.
And I must say, you always have the most evocative and provocative flyers. He definitely sprinkles them throughout campus. And I think you really, I would imagine you're attracting some students to these films.
I hope so. We haven't had too much in the past, but I'm hoping with the one we're having Monday night, we're going to get some students in attendance.
Yes. Well, this one is about Betty Page. And I think there's a generation that knows about Betty Page. It's called Betty Page Reveals All. And the flyer is both – it's interesting. It's quite provocative, but it's in her her sort of the girl next door image
mode.
Right there.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, the flyer you have is kind of her headshot that she used for a while. I do other flyers around town that are different versions, and they're – Not that picture, but yeah, the cool thing about her was she was this sort of woman who could look like, you know, the girl next door and your girlfriend at the same time, could be, you know, naughty and.
She looks like you could bring her home to mama
exactly,
in this picture,
exactly.
But she was a pinup.
Right,
girl.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And but someone you kind of really would love to know, regardless of who you are, because she just seemed like that sort of free-spirited, friendly, you know, girl that every man kind of longs for, you know, at some point.
Now, people are rushing to get tickets now, I'm sure. But, well, tell us how the documentary came about. Was it made while she was still living?
Actually, the film itself was not. The cool thing about this particular film is the director knew Betty. He met her actually through his agent at the time when he did a movie back in the 90s, which was nominated for an Academy Award. It was a documentary called Building Bombs. And I think the story is he was in his agent's office, and there was a book that had come out around that time called Betty Page. It was one of these picture books, a coffee table book. And he picked it up and said, oh, what's this? He said, oh, that's this new book that came out, one of my clients, Betty Page. And through that, he goes, oh, this would make an interesting movie. They met and they became kind of fast friends in the early 90s. And he would, at the time, she was a recluse, which she kind of was from 1957 on. But he contacted her and they became friends, and he started recording phone conversations and interviews from the mid-90s through 98, I believe. And all of these recordings are in the film. So it's basically Betty telling her story through these conversations that the director had from these phone calls.
So is he trying to give a thorough history of her life and try to understand how she ended up the way she is? Or is he really looking back at some of her early work as
both.
Well?
I mean, this is kind of the comprehensive end-all film about Betty Page. I mean, they made a film. I think there's one earlier documentary, and then they made The Notorious Betty Page, which was a feature several years back, which I think was not very good. But this is the real deal. And even though Betty doesn't appear in it on screen because she really didn't want to be photographed in her old age, her voice is throughout the movie, and she's she's still pretty feisty and fun to talk to and hear.
Well, it sounds like you're a real fan.
Well, how can you not be?
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. But also, you know, I think I haven't seen the film yet, but, you know, what when we discussed this and first of all, the wonderful thing about the series is that it's completely hands-off for us because Mike is such an incredibly knowledgeable person. He picks films very carefully and there's always an interesting spin. There's always an interesting subject matter and so forth. But when we started looking at this film and started talking about it, I thought, you know, this is really an interesting and very relevant subject matter because he's this lady. I mean, pinups were a dime in the dozen in the 40s and 50s. That was incredible. Prevalent in the United States, and everybody had pinups on their walls, and they were not terribly risque by modern standards, but fair enough. Betty, however, sort of took it to a whole different level because there was a bit more of an edge to her, and she really sparked also sort of a new level of confidence in women, and sort of a level of taking their sexuality in their own hands, and that really changed the landscape between the gender landscape considerably in this country. I think she's contributed greatly to that. Now, of course, then I think if I understand correctly what little I know is that later in her life, she really started to struggle with exactly that role she played and you know, found Christianity at some point, for instance. And I think the film will probably, you know, illuminate a bit about all those things. And then if you fast forward to the late 90s, early 2000s, of course, all the hipsters in the U.S. rediscovered Betty Page. She became a bit of an icon for a whole new young generation and perhaps still is. And I think that's going to be fascinating to explore. And, you know, I can't wait to see who turns up for this film.
All right.
Yeah, we have.
I think you've given lots of people many different reasons to go and see the film.
Well, there's people that like, you know, of course, Hugh Hefner and Dita Von Teese and all the sort of, I don't want to say burlesque, but the people that are doing what Betty did back then are all kind of in this movie as well, talking about the original.
And their reactions to Betty Page.
Yes.
All right. So the Notorious Betty Page was a narrative film.
It was a narrative biopic starring Gretchen Mol. Mm-hmm. I don't want to say it came out in 2007 or 8, somewhere mm-hmm. back then. It kind of told the story
of the more notorious side.
Well, no, it was kind of a straight biopic mm-hmm. About her. And it just, I mean, I saw the movie and it never really got off the ground. It didn't make it as interesting as it should have been.
Mm-hmm. But this one does.
I'm hoping. Yeah. Yes.
If you are just tuning in, my guests are Mike Myers, who started the Cane Fire film series that is now housed in the Acadiana Center for the Arts, and Gerd Wüstemann, executive director of the ACA. Betty Page Reveals All is a documentary that will be shown this coming Monday, February 10th, through Cane Fire film series at the ACA. And, of course, we all know the sound system there is wonderful. So seeing a movie in that space is great, and you set it up theater style, and you have a really nice projection system there as well.
Yeah, we're also going to have a special event prior to this movie. We're having a Betty Page lookalike contest, and it's going to be interesting. We have a gift basket that we're going to be giving away from the folks at Crave, and we're going to give the one-sheet poster away from the movie that's in the lobby now, which is a really cool one-sheet poster and would look great in anybody's living room.
Yeah, so boys and girls out there, you really don't want to miss this film.
And start looking up images of Betty Page, which was interesting. When you walked into our lobby, our student aide actually, without knowing it, looked very much
like
her.
Well, trust me, there are images available online. Probably thousands.
Well, that
millions.
Will be interesting. I hope that you all film it and take pictures of the fashion show. What time will that start, Mike?
We're going to start that around 7:30. You know, that'll probably be about 20 minutes or so, and then we're going to start the movie right after that.
Okay, so a Betty Page fashion show, and it's a contest.
It's a lookalike contest.
A lookalike contest.
You could come as the Betty Page, you know, leather or bathing suit or girl next door. It just depends.
Yeah,
on
I've been trying on bang dark head wigs all week, but I haven't quite found my look yet, so we'll see.
Well, that's, again, encourage some people, I'm sure, just to attend on the chance that you might show up as Betty Page. So 7:30, and then you'll show the film afterwards.
Yes.
Okay, and how do people get tickets for it? Should they wait till that night? I don't know. This might want to reserve tickets.
I would try and get tickets ahead of time. Either go over to the ACA, the box office, or go to their website and buy tickets online. The website is
acadianacenterforthearts.org, or you can call us at 233-7060.
Mm-hmm. And you can get tickets for Cane Fire Film Series. series or for the Wanderlust production this week, actually opening tonight at the ACA. So your one-stop shop for great culture, music, visual arts, theater, and now film all at the
ACA. We've got some other good films coming in too soon. In March, we have Maiden Trip about Laura Decker, the 14-year-old who sailed around the world alone back in 2010. And then we're doing in May, we're actually going to be bringing in Ernest and Celestine, which is a Academy Award nominated film this year for Best Animated Feature. It's from France, and we're going to actually show the original French version, not the English version, but the French version.
If people go to your Facebook page, can they see the films that you're mentioning that are coming up?
That's www.facebook.com/Canefire Film Series.
Okay.
Yeah. Or just Google Canefire Film Series and
find a list of films will come up. So keep posted on what's happening with Canefire, because these are films that are just coming out. People are getting to see them in major cities, and we'll get to see them here not long after they come out, thanks to the Acadiana Center for the Arts and Mike Meyer with Canefire Film Series. Lots going on this weekend is Second Saturday Art Walk. You can go to the ACA for all kinds of things, exhibits and Wanderlust Theater. Anything else we should know about?
We have kids' activities also this weekend during Art Walk, of course. And then fast forward to a little bit later this month, we have a very big performance at the Hyman Center with our PASA main stage series. The great Pat Metheny, 20-time Grammy winner, one of the greatest guitarists that ever walked the earth. And, you know, I'm a bit picky about guitarists. So I really mean when I say that I can't wait for the show. His only and, I believe, first ever Louisiana concert. So we're really excited about having him. That is on February 18. Tickets are available through Ticketmaster.com or at the Hyman Center. Again, that's Pat Metheny, February 18. Very, very wonderful show. And then much more in February and May.
All right. Well, we'll keep posted on that and have you back to talk more about it. Thank you both. Mike Myers with Canefire Film Series.
Thank you.
Gert Vusteman, director of the Acadiana Center for the Arts.
Thanks for having us.